Welcome, Packer fans. You were witness to a trouncing of the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday Night Football on NBC. The Packers utterly dominated start to finish. Statistically, any way you look at it, it wasn't even a game. Packers win 45-7. What we're going to do on the show today is recap the scoring a little bit, go through some of the statistics, and then we're going to analyze the game, take your phone calls, and live it up on the live blog. By all means, if you want to tweet with the hashtags CheeseheadTV, your comments will get through to the blog. Most of you know that by now, seeing as you've been with us all game. But thank you for joining us, and wow, what a game. I'm at a loss for words. I don't know how to describe that. It was just domination. I mean, that is a pretty inept Dallas Cowboys team. It almost is hard to, like, you know, credit the Packers too much. No, by all means, good job, Green Bay Packers. I don't mean to disparage them at all, but, I mean, that is not a good team on the other side of the field, across from them. Wade Phillips, I thought perhaps he could get fired at halftime. I mean, if there's a person out there that would do that, it would be Jerry Jones. If that were to ever happen, a coach fired at halftime, Jerry Jones would be liable to be the person to make that happen. And no, I mean, just entirely inept out there. I thought it was just classic how they didn't have any way to replay that fumble on the kick return, in which Jarrett Bush forced the fumble and returned for a touchdown by Nick Collins. And the Cowboys had wasted all their timeouts, and there was 2:04 left on the clock. You know, had it been 4 seconds later, inside the 2-minute warning, it could have been reviewed from the booth. But too bad, I guess. I saw a lot of tweets saying from fans saying they have no remorse for the Cowboys after all that happened in the 90s, at the the Packers had so many losses to the hands of the Cowboys, things like that, and didn't really feel too bad for them, and what Jerry Jones has done for the team as well, and his support to get rid of revenue sharing in the NFL, things like that. But as Found in Idaho says on our live blog, very satisfying nonetheless. And if you are a Packer fan, I think that's how you have to feel about this game. Very satisfying. The Packers are now 6-3 on the season, twice as many wins as they do losses, and they go into a bye week. Perhaps that is the thing you can rejoice about most of all, the bye week. And this team can hopefully get healthy. One of the sore points to come through the game today was Ryan Pickett getting re-injured, and that was the last thing you want to see. And it's good now that he has 2 weeks to heal. That's, you know, better than nothing. The silver lining, if you will. But that little disappointing that would have happened. I saw a question in the live blog already. Activate Al Harris, yes or no, from Dan in Texas. And I do think it's inevitable that Al Harris will be activated by tomorrow. I think they just wanted to get through this game, this week, give him as much time as possible to recover. Now he's got 2 more weeks until another game. And now he'll be ready to go. But let's recap the scoring here tonight. So many highlights from the Packers' point of view this evening. The Packers kick it off with a 7-0 lead. Second quarter, 14:20 into the second quarter, or 14:20 left on the clock. Brandon Jackson, 9-yard pass from Aaron Rodgers, puts the Packers up 7-0. Brandon Jackson gets into the act once again at 8:32 in the second quarter. Gets in on a 2-yard run. Play is reviewed by the Dallas Cowboys. Their foolish review, if you ask me. I don't know why you review that and early in the game on a second down on a. It didn't even seem to me all that questionable. I mean, I suppose there was a chance he didn't cross the goal line, but it didn't seem to me that was worthy of a replay, and thus you lost your chance at replay a little bit later. Packers go up 21-0 on a Greg Jennings 8-yard touchdown reception from Aaron Rodgers, and just moments afterward, all of 3 seconds later, in terms of time that ticks off the clock after the kick returner caught the ball, Nick Collins 26-yard fumble return could have been overturned had the Cowboys been able to review it, but Jarrett Bush recovers the fumble, and the Packers go up 28-0. And I'll tell you what, folks, I just lost my scoring recap here. I can even show it to you. Here's the screen. It just all the recap went away from me on the ESPN I was watching, but hopefully I can pull it up here again in a second. As I try to find this, go back to the box score that I was looking at. I suppose I should remember this right off the top of my head. It wasn't even that tough to recall all the scoring. It was just all Packers. But no, the Cowboys here. I got it back up. The Cowboys get on the board with a late second quarter touchdown. Dez Bryant, 2-yard pass from John Kitna. And the Cowboys get on the board, go into halftime with a little momentum. You think, boy, if they could keep this going through halftime, they'd have a chance. You know, down by 3 scores and just get a little momentum on their side. But it wasn't meant to be. Packers come out in the third quarter, rolling. Maybe not that first possession in the third quarter, but shortly thereafter, James Jones, a 10-yard touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers, puts the Packers up 35-7. Fourth quarter, Packers extend the lead 38-7 behind a Mason Crosby 26-yard field goal. And then to top it all off, Clay Matthews, 62-yard interception return off the deflection. That does it. 45-7, your final score. Packers just dominating fashion once again. And the way they milk the game at the end, going for it on fourth down when the Packers had the ball in the red zone. I mean, that told you just about all you need to know about the game. The Packers can, you know, really pretty classy, you know, not to kick the field goal or go for the end zone. We'll just run it here. We'll send Dimitri Nance up the gut. If you stop us, okay. If not, okay, we'll keep going. But that really epitomized the game, I suppose. Take a look at some of the individual statistics for the game. In the passing department, Aaron Rodgers goes 27 of 34 for 289 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, a passer rating of 131.5. Aaron Rodgers, undoubtedly best game of the season. One of his best games of his career. I don't know. I'd have to compare it to other games, but it's certainly up there. Just nearly flawless. Only, what would that be, 7 incomplete passes on the entire day. Couple of them drops, notably James Jones, that probably would have been a touchdown had he not dropped it. That's neither here nor there, though. Matt Flynn only got 1 attempt on the day. 0 of 1 for 39 yards, for a 39.6 passer rating, I'm sorry. In the rushing department, John Kuhn leads the way. career high in both rushes and yards, 13 for 50, 3.8-yard average. John Kuhn with a career day as far as he's concerned. Brandon Jackson, also 13 carries. He has 42 yards, got into the end zone once on the ground, 3.2 yards a carry. Aaron Rodgers, of course, looking very good, very smart, on very heady on his scrambles, 5 for 41 yards, 8.2-yard average. Really felt the pressure from the outside and just stepped up into the pocket and took off when he needed to. Got a couple first downs. Dimitri Nance at the end of the game added 4 rushes for 5 yards. Was sad to see him not get any rushes a little bit earlier. The receivers, James Jones leads the way, 8 catches for 123 yards, adds a touchdown. James Jones, you know, he had the fumble at the beginning of the game. He had the drop pass near the end. Well, it was probably in the third quarter, but you know what I'm saying. And in between, though, looked unstoppable in between those plays, sandwiched in between. Greg Jennings right behind him, 7 catches for 80 yards, also gets into the scoring act with a touchdown of his own. Jordy Nelson grabs 4 balls, 42 yards. Brandon Jackson, 4 for 26, and he hits pay dirt one time. John Kuhn, 2 for 12. Tom Crabtree, 1 for 4. And Brett Swain gets into the act, 1 catch, 2 yards. On the defensive side of the ball, in terms of impact plays, sacks, interceptions, the Packers have 4 sacks on the night, coming from Charles Woodson, Clay Matthews, Desmond Bishop, and C.J. Wilson. And your Green Bay Packers interceptions come from Clay Matthews, 1 for 62 yards, takes it all the way back, a pick 6 off the deflection, and Sam Shields records his first career interception for the Green Bay Packers. And with that, it is time to analyze the game. Folks, if you want to call in, by all means, it's up to you. 646-797-2909. I'm glad to say I got some new equipment here at the Railbird Central Studios here at the home offices in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. Got some new cables. Should be a little less glitchy on the phone calls now. And we tested out on Railbird Central on Friday morning with when we had Alex Talich of the Packers Lounge call in, and sounds good. So I'm excited for that, and hopefully things will be a little bit clearer if you want to talk about the game. And if not, you know, there's plenty I can blab on about, but I wanna know what you want to talk about during the game. And with that, we'll open the phone calls right here. Hello, you are on Cheesehead TV. Who do we have joining us?
Hey, Brian. It's Dale Zawada. What's going on, buddy?
Mr. Dale Zawada, how are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty drunk. I did 6 touchdown shots, which is far too many. Come on, Packers. That's a lot of points. Yeah, I wanted to say props to Jared Bush, who had a heck of a game, and he probably won't get the love he deserves this week. And also, props to the offensive line. Did a fantastic job, Ryan. Fantastic.
Yes. The offensive line, if I go back and look here, how many sacks did they give up today?
I don't know, 2 maybe?
Yeah. They gave up 1 sack, and happened way early in the game. Looked like Brian Bulaga had a hard time picking up the blitz, but forget that. After that, just solid. Did a great job pushing the edge rushers beyond Aaron Rodgers, and he stepped up in the pocket and did great. No, fantastic. I'm glad he pointed that out.
It was pretty good. And also, the 3 fullback set, now that was craziness. I would have done a spit take if I didn't want to waste the alcohol. That was insane.
The 3 fullback set, yes, that it reminded me of football from about the turn of the century, and not this past turn of the century when back when it hit about 1900, back when football looked more like rugby. Yeah, I couldn't believe that myself. And, you know, if had the Packers broken that out in a close game or something like that, I would have, you know, probably been outraged. But seeing as they were just dominating, killing the Dallas Cowboys, you know, what the heck, more power to you. But yeah, I couldn't believe that as well. That's one for the ages.
I only got only two more thoughts. The first one is Tremont Williams. I don't think he should be returning punts. First of all, he's not that great of a returner. He does a lot of east-west dancing, and he's very valuable on defense. He's arguably our best cornerback. We shouldn't be risking him. And my last thought before I hang up on you, Brian, is once again, Tim Massey for MVP. I love you, Brian.
Yeah. Dale, thank you very much for calling in. Is the voting over yet on the Chicago comic? He hung up on me already. But everybody, vote for Dale Zawada for Chicago's next big comic. No, Tim Massey. The Packers barely had to punt today, so that's, you know, kudos to the offense for not having to punt whatsoever. And Tremont Williams on punt returns, you know, I see where people are getting so angry that they do not want to, you know, they, not that they're angry, but, you know, he's having such a good season and people don't want to see him back there. They just would rather he not be exposed to injury. I personally don't have as big a deal with it. You know, it's not like other teams out there don't have good players back there. And he seems to make smart choices, at least. And he doesn't fumble. At least he hasn't fumbled one away yet. He has had, I think he did have a muff tonight, actually. And he may have actually had a fumble earlier in the season that I believe he recovered on his own. But no, has yet to turn the ball over to the other team this season. And I guess that's more important than anything. I mean, you saw the troubles of the preseason. Guys like Sam Shields and Deron Cherry, I even forget the guy's name now, but just guys who could not hold on to the football. And I suppose that's the case for Tremont Williams. I know everybody's cringing, but I suppose that's the way it'll go. Taking another phone call. Hello, you're on Cheesehead TV. Who do we have joining us?
This is Nathan from Bitter Border Battle.
Nathan, how are you, sir? BitterBorderBattle.com.
Doing pretty good. Good victory tonight.
Yes, can't complain. Packers just thoroughly, in every phase of the game, outperformed the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, just I had been kind of critical of Aaron Rodgers lately, saying he needs to step up to give the Packers their shot to make that run this year despite the injuries, and he did all of that tonight for sure, regardless of the stats that were great. His passes tonight that he had were amazing, I guess. That's an understatement, but he had some great passes tonight.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Rodgers just really, in a year in the NFC where there aren't that many quarterbacks standing out at the moment, just hang, holy cow, we got phone calls coming left and right here. Hang on, folks, we need to go one at a time.
You're a popular man.
I guess so. Well, after a win like that, everybody wants to get in the act. And what's the point I was making here? Oh, the NFC quarterbacks in a year where there's not a lot of people standing out. You know, Drew Brees himself not having that good of a year. You know, Aaron Rodgers really made a statement tonight that he still could be in the running to be like the Pro Bowl candidate from the NFC. But no, just a fantastic performance all around. And he's got a 130-something passer rating. Just amazing, Nathan.
Yep, and one last, I guess, topic for discussion that I'll leave you with. Do you think Nick Collins is going to be suspended after the bye week
situation? Hang on one second here. Nick Collins suspended. It could happen. But I would say more than likely he's not going to be suspended. I would say he's going to be subject to a fine. If I had to guess, you know, the NFL has said that they're willing to suspend people on the first time. So, you know, I think it was one of ESPN's head honchos there tweeted during the game that this is the type of hit that the NFL wants to crack down on. Adam Schefter tweeted that, I believe. So, do you think he's going to get suspended? I could see it going either way.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at, I guess. Like Schefter said, that's one of the hits that they want to make an example out of. Whether or not they're going to pick Nick Collins to do it, it'd be surprising. I didn't see any of the Harrison hits from last weekend, but you know he's racked up 3 separate fines now, I believe, and if they haven't suspended him, I'd say it's going to be hard for them to suspend Nick Collins. I think Greg Bedard made the point that they should look at a track record of a player like Nick Collins and you know see if he has any hits like that in the past, and I don't really think he does. So
no,
it'll be interesting to see.
I don't think he does either. Thank you, Nathan, for calling in. BitterBorderBattle.com. Yep. I appreciate it. Take care. Yeah. I don't think that Nick Collins has a history of this. It doesn't come to mind. You know, I don't think it was really, you know, it's not like he wanted to hit the guy in the head. I don't think, you know, but he had every opportunity to hit him lower. You know, he was coming from far enough away. It wasn't bang bang or anything like that where he could have hit him lower. You know, gotten that head around to the side, to the front of the player, and, you know, gotten in front of him. But it's hard to say how things are going to play out. I could see very well this being the time where they're going to set precedent with it. They're going to suspend Nick Collins. It may happen. I'm telling you, it's going to be the talk of ESPN tomorrow and the NFL Network and you name it. It's going to be the topic du jour. And with that, folks, that opens up the phone lines once again. If you want to call into the show, 646-797-2909. I had to decline a couple calls there, as you heard. But if you want to talk now, feel free. Call in. we're taking your phone calls. So, and here we go. And now if I can find the icon here we go. Hello, you're on Cheesehead TV. Who do we have joining us?
This is Jesse from Wisconsin, actually. But I want to talk about the defense.
You got it. What's up with the defense?
Ever since the, I think it was 17-14 against the Vikings, and they had the ball in the second half, and Favre's driving when we were down 17-14. It just feels like since when Favre threw the ball to A.J. Hawk, it just felt like this defense has been playing on a completely different level. And it feels like we're starting to get more interceptions. We're getting to the quarterbacks now. We go into New York. We shut out a team that was averaging like 28 points a game. And now we put up a huge performance again on Sunday Night Football. I'm really excited about the defense.
Oh, absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. It seemed to be almost a turning point with that A.J. Hawk interception. You know, since then, I mean, obviously the dominating performance last week as far as the defense is concerned when they shut out the Jets and, you know, just giving up really a garbage TD to the Cowboys today. And, you know, they're lucky they got that. But the run defense, especially the Cowboys only got, how many yards on the ground was it today? It was 5 yards for the longest time in the first half, but you know, 39 yards is what they had on the game, and you hit the nail on the head. They have seemed to turn things around since early in the season.
Yeah, that's all I got. I just wanted to say defense. Love the show, and thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Jesse. Appreciate it. No, the defense, ever since late in the Vikings game, just, you know, the Packers come into the game today ranked number 25 against the run. And that's after stopping the Jets cold last week in the run game, LaDainian Tomlinson and Sean Green. And here they go and hold them to 39 yards the entire game, most of them coming in the second half. But you have to think the Packers will be going up in the run D rankings in the NFL. In fact, those of you on the live blog, if I'm not sure how quickly they update the stats on, you know, just places like ESPN or, you know, the network, CBS, things like that, NBC, it'd be interesting to see where the Packers rank now in the NFL after ranking number one a year ago in average yards per game allowed as a team. Absolutely dominating these past few weeks. Yeah, and to think the Packers are the only team in the NFL to, you know, through last week to pitch a shutout this season. The only team in the NFL to do it in back-to-back seasons. And almost could have done it today had they kind of not, you know, given up that touchdown to Dez Bryant there at the end. Hello, you're on Cheesehead TV. Who do we have joining us?
Brian, it's Alex.
Alex Telich from the Packers Lounge. How are you?
Oh, always good. And when it's 45 to 7, was it?
Yes, 45 to 7 was the final score.
Yeah, that was just a thrashing. That was complete and total thrashing. But I love it. But I want to talk about the Nick Collins hit. I don't care about anything else right now.
Have at it. It's your floor.
First of all, I'm angry because you know what we're going to have to talk about for the next 2 weeks? Not the Packers winning 45-7. Not the Packers peaking. Not the Packers looking good. We're going to have to talk about this stupid hit. And if you go back and watch it, you can tell he's in the air. And yeah, he's a little bit late, but he's trying to turn and not smash him. And it doesn't look like he's trying to take his head off. There's just no way they're going to suspend him. I think it's unfortunate that we're going to have to spend the next 7 to 14 days talking about this hit instead of talking about how good the Packers finally looked, granted the team we played, of course.
You know, I suppose it's appropriate that Tari Bigby got activated because they may need him now more than ever if Nick Collins has to sit out for a game, I suppose.
I agree. It was nice to see Bigby in there. Unfortunately, he looked a little bit late and a little bit slow on everything. But, yeah, I mean, what happens with Bigby? Does Bigby step in for Collins, or does Pepper move over and Bigby take his normal spot? What do you think happens there?
That's a good
first
question.
First day Collins is suspended.
I would have to assume it would be Pepper and Bigby in the starting lineup. Which of them is more of the free safety and who's the strong safety? I wouldn't even know what they would do there. Because
that's
really,
right,
they've both been the strong safety, you know, in their short time. So
at the Tari's natural position, and with Pepper playing so good, do you stick a Tari in there, put him over with Collins? What if a Tari played as good then? Then you know, you got a safety controversy. So I just hope it doesn't happen. I don't think it was as egregious as everybody's making it out to be. You know, people are saying I'm a homer for saying if it was any other team, I wouldn't think that. But I've seen some tough hits in this league, and that just wasn't suspension worthy. He might pay for it, but you know, I just don't agree the guy's going to get suspended. I'm just putting that out there because that's going to be my argument with Aaron Nagler for the week. So I'm drawing the line in the sand.
I have to agree. I'm almost on the line 50-50 whether he'll get suspended or not. I want to say this is going to be the point where they're going to make an example out of someone, you know, that's kind of what I think in the back of my head, but, you know, is it worthy of a suspension? Maybe not. I really don't think he wanted to hurt the guy. Obviously, he didn't want to hurt the guy, but I suppose he could have prevented it, and he didn't. I don't know what to think. It'll be interesting to get his post-game reaction today. See what Nick Collins has to say about it.
I agree, Brian. Thanks for letting me on the show. Great show as always. I'll let these other fans call in that are going off left and right. go Pack. It'll be a long 2 weeks, but
yeah.
We're on the right road.
Thanks, Alex. See you later. Alex Talich, once again, of the Packers Lounge, CheeseheadTV/Lounge. Go check it out. Yeah, I mean, hopefully the tweets start coming in soon here. And you know, I suppose it's going to be quite a while till they get player reaction. Technically, they, you know, most of the reporters get the reaction from the head coach first, Mike McCarthy. And I suppose it'll be... He'll have something to say on the topic as well, maybe. So we'll see as time goes on here. Oh, and I see I don't have time to pay attention to the live blog every single moment here as I'm trying to look at three computers and answer phone calls and things like that. But I do see Mike Vandermaus of the Green Bay Press Gazette was tweeting a little bit from the Mike McCarthy presser a little bit earlier. I don't have time to read them all right now. But as we go on here, and something I haven't mentioned yet throughout the course of the show is the first down production and third down efficiency of the Green Bay Packers today. Packers convert 10 of 15 third downs today and got 26 total first downs for the entire game, no matter if they came on whatever down they came on. And just it's such a difference from what it was earlier in the season. Just third downs had been a bugaboo for the Packers all season long. And, you know, NBC, the national broadcast, had some graphics on the screen talking about how well Aaron Rodgers did on third downs last year as compared to this year. And finally, you know, they convert 75%, or no, I'm sorry, it was only 66% of their third downs today. But still, the Packers season high, and I tweeted this during the game, third down conversions, their most third down conversions the entire season was 7. And that came week 2 against the Buffalo Bills in a game in which the Packers really, you know, handled the Bills in the second half of that game. And really, the final score was rather large. First half of the game was close, but week 2 they pulled away in the second half. And anyway, the Packers had 7 third down conversions that entire game. The Packers matched that by halftime today. Converted 7 third downs by halftime today against the Dallas Cowboys. And you know, once again, I'm not sure if that's indicative of how good the Packers are or how bad the Cowboys are, and it's probably a little bit of both. This was the offense people were waiting to see the beginning of the season with the Green Bay Packers. This was the type of dominating performance people were expecting to see with people like Ryan Grant, with people like JerMichael Finley, with people like Donald Driver. No, really, I mean, it's surprising, almost to an extent, how well the Packers did without those, you know, game-changing players in the lineup. You know, people like James Jones, Greg Jennings, Brandon Jackson, you know, really picked up the slack and made it look like, you know, made it look like Donald Driver and Ryan Grant out there, you know, maybe not in the way they get it done, but the outcome was the same, at least, in terms of getting into the end zone and things like that. While I'm waiting for another phone call, by all means, if anybody wants to call in, feel free. I'm going to try to take a look at some of the comments on the live blog here, and I can see everybody's very, very excited about the win here today. And Corey Banky, our producer for the game today, thank you, Corey. Reminding everybody, Tuesday, tune in to Packer Transplants at 8 p.m. with nose tackle Howard Green will be joining us on the show. So I had actually talked to Howard Green late last week, and He's going to be on his way to his home in Louisiana on that day, on Tuesday, taking, you know, during the bye week, all the players are going home, so that's fantastic that he's taking the time to talk to us, even during the players' bye week and heading home. I'm sure the Packers, you know, they'll stick around tomorrow, you know, recap the game, do their rehab or whatever it is that they need to do, and then head out of town after that for a week, probably almost, as they just rest and recuperate and whatever they need to do before they come back to the season and have the meet the Minnesota Vikings on the road in 2 weeks. I think it was CD Angeli of Tundra Vision tweeted after the game to think that possibly the Wade Phillips could get fired after this game in 2 weeks. Vikings could fire Childress. That would be a little bit too much to ask. Could it happen exactly like that? We'll see. I'm not sure whether it can or not. But interesting to think that that is a possibility and that could happen. I'm trying to think of who I'm going to give my chips to. Chips report. Blue chips, red chips, cow chips. I think it's a given almost that Clay Matthews is going to get one of the blue chips. He having the touchdown return interception, having one of the Packers, four sacks, and even on top of that, just having two tackles for a loss, you know, even on plays that are not, you know, game-changing interceptions or sacks, just making the Cowboys' offensive line look like a sieve, just getting through there untouched, just unbelievable, just what an animal. And the way Clay Matthews uses his hands, he's just so talented. He just bats away the arms of the whoever he's going against, you know, most of the time, you know, offensive linemen who outweigh him by 50 pounds. And so quick that he just is a flash right by them. And just an amazing job. And he has to be getting one of the blue chips for today, and I could use some suggestions if anybody else wants to throw them out on the live blog. I was thinking of giving a blue chip to James Jones, and I don't know what to do there. You know, he had the fumble at the beginning of the game. He had the drop catch that perhaps could have been a touchdown there in the third quarter. But though in between, everything was rosy in between, ends up having 8 catches for over 100 yards, 123 yards, hit the end zone once, and that's tough to complain with there. And I suppose maybe that's a red chip production, you know, instead of giving them the blue chip, we'll just acknowledge that, you know, overall it was a pretty good game and give him a red chip instead. Cuphound says, red chip for Jarrett Bush. Yes, by all means, Jarrett Bush. you know, I doing it on special teams, forcing the fumble that leads to a touchdown. And then at the end of the game there as well, recovering the fumble. And questionable whether he stayed in bounds or not. And both times, had they been reviewed, possibly could have gone the other way. I thought that was funny. You know, here's Jared Bush, the guy who has just been, you know, seemingly haunted in his career with the Green Bay Packers, and he makes these plays, and they're almost plays that may not have happened had they been reviewed, But they count. In the record book, they count. You know, he caused a fumble, he recovered a fumble, and leading to points on the scoreboard. And Jared Bush just, you know, people hate him. You know, Jared Bush is having his best season ever. He's really getting it done on the special teams. When he's played on defense, he's did fine. Of course, the one game this year, he played as the nickelback and played pretty well. He has played occasionally from time to time. Other than that, got a little bit of action on defense late in the game today with, you know, in the fourth quarter when everybody's sitting out. Speaking of sitting out and injuries, I kind of wondered about injuries today a little bit and whether there are some things that maybe cropped up that went a little bit under the radar. I had wondered why the Packers replaced Charlie Peppra early in the game with Atari Bigby. You know, Charlie Peppra, just that first possession or two of the game for the Cowboys there, you know, once again, playing in the Dom Capers, putting eight in the box and makes a tackle for a loss and seemingly doing nothing to, you know, deserve a demotion, deserve to be relegated to the bench. You know, I guess I understand the need and want to get Atari Bigby some playing time. But I just thought it was a little bit unfair to Charlie Peppra to come out, and that's what got me to wondering, boy, maybe did Charlie Peppra tweak something? I don't know. Just because his play didn't warrant it. His play didn't warrant coming out of the game. So that concerned me a little bit. And on top of that, you noticed that Clay Matthews came out of the game after his interception return for a touchdown. But the rest of the starters were still out on the field, you know, the play after, you know, they got a kick off and play defense right again after they, you know, gave up the interception return for a touchdown or had the interception return for a touchdown. And maybe just they were giving Clay Matthews the rest of the night off, giving him a breather, I don't know. But I just thought it was a little ominous that perhaps, you know, he wasn't out there, but all the rest of the starters still were. Did he perhaps, you know, something happened with his hamstring again? I don't know. I hope not. I'm not saying he did, but, you know, it just seemed ominous to me that happened. Debo, NJ, no praise for Chad Clifton. I'll give Chad Clifton the praise right now. Once again, the longer the season wears on for Chad Clifton, seemingly the better he's doing against DeMarcus Ware. Ware lined up all over the field, but still, you know, Chad Clifton, after doing it against Jared Allen 2 weeks ago, comes back with another good performance, and just stymies DeMarcus Ware and the Cowboys pass rush. Fantastic job by Chad Clifton and most of the offensive line for that matter. Brian Bulaga had the one, gave up the sack early in the game, but sans that, after that, really doing fine. Cheesehead 303 saying that if everything else stays equal, the Packers would move to 24th against the run at 114 yards per game, up three spots. That's it, huh? Boy, after giving up 30-some yards to the Dallas Cowboys, all they would move up to is 24th. That's a shame. Corey Banky, ever since I called Jack Clifton a dinosaur, he is pwned. Yeah. No, Chad Clifton just, you know, really struggling early in the season. The first game against the Eagles, game against the Chicago Bears just looking old. Looking like he can't do it anymore, but stepped up. And while we're on the topic of the offensive line, you know, I suppose the question to ask now is whether Mark Tauscher comes back into the starting lineup. And by all means, those of you who are out there, give me your thoughts. Does Mark Tauscher go back into the starting lineup for the Green Bay Packers? Do you sit Brian Bulaga down? Is it possible, you know, here we are praising Chad Clifton for playing well as the season goes on. Can Mark Tauscher do the same? I mean, you know, Mark Tauscher, he's not looked that good this season. I admit that. Anybody would. But I mean, is that the type of thing where, you know, maybe he gets going a little bit? You know, gets going, builds a little momentum. You know, maybe once he gets a couple games under his belt, he starts improving. He starts getting better as the season goes on. Packer and Burrow says, Bulaga looks better in pass, maybe weaker in the run. Hard to say. I don't think Bulaga has done, you know, he's looked equal in each phase of the game, I think, as far as I'm concerned. Everybody's open to their own opinion. But I thought, you know, I wouldn't say he's any better in the run than the pass or vice versa. You know, he makes his mistakes, and he's a rookie. Any rookie's going to do that. And while talking about rookies, yeah, I haven't mentioned Sam Shields' name yet tonight. I might have mentioned it once when we were talking, going through the stats and the interceptions. But no, you know, recording his first career interception, has the pass breakup in the end zone, preventing another touchdown. You know, how important was that pickup as a undrafted free agent by Ted Thompson? You know, that could turn out to have the most value of any rookie there is on the team in terms of value, in terms of, you know, getting bang for your buck. And just the entire season this is for Sam Shields now. And here everybody was worried about Sam Shields on kick returns as well, myself included. After seeing him in training camp and the preseason and fumbling the ball, you know, I was the last person who thought Sam Shields would be on kick returns. And the one he gets his hands on, he takes off for, I think he had 48 yards or something like that, getting out to midfield. James Starks on our live blog, do I get activated tomorrow? And that's a good question. You know, the Packers have to make a choice on James Starks by tomorrow. He's either cut, which I don't think will happen. You know, the motive for cutting James Starks would that be that they can put him on the practice squad, but yeah, I don't think they risk losing James Starks, and that's why you wouldn't cut him. The other options would be elevate him to the 53. The Packers would have to cut somebody to do that, and put him on injured reserve. I think that's the most likely thing to do. Because, you know, they keep his rights then. You know, he's with the team the rest of the year. You know, they don't lose them. So, unfortunately, James, I think you're put on injured reserve. Unless for whatever reason, you know, somebody got hurt in this game and is going to be put on injured reserve anyway. But the Packers going to have to make room for Al Harris. And, you know, what you might see tomorrow is, unfortunately, Pat Lee being put on injured reserve. You know, I tend to think that's what's going to happen. Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel saying, you know, his injury is perhaps a little worse than they thought. Could happen that Pat Lee is placed on injured reserve. And that seems to be the direction in which the Packers may be moving. Yeah, I don't know. He apparently has a high ankle sprain. But, you know, if he doesn't go on injured reserve, then the Packers are going to have to cut someone. And, you know, unless somebody's hurt, I don't think they want to cut anyone. So, question on the live blog. A. Biederman, they were talking about Capers possibly becoming a head coach for next season. Is that possible or likely? You know, the more he works his magic, the more possible that comes. You know, I think if there was a team where it would be likely, it would be the Green Bay Packers. But, I mean, I don't think the Packers are going to cut ways with Mike McCarthy. Even if the season were going in the tank, I don't think that would happen. But yeah, I just think his rapport with the Packers would allow him to do that maybe someday, perhaps. He's only going to get more momentum as the Packers do well and, you know, have more performances like this, like last week. I see on the live blog here, x-rays on Pickett's ankle are negative. That's a good thing. Once again, Ryan Pickett now here has 2 weeks to rest up and get ready. He might need extra time, you know, seeing as he had a little setback with the ankle today. You know, I'm glad he has, you know, 2 weeks off and no game next week, but, you know, they might have to play it real careful with him from here on out. And, you know, he might even be out the Vikings game. Abraham says, with Woodson, Tremont, Shields, Harris, Underwood, isn't Pat Lee a bit redundant? And certainly, you know, cornerback is the one position, maybe not the one position, but certainly a position on the Packers where they do have some depth. They can afford to lose somebody like Pat Lee, you know, if they have to make room for Al Harris, Pat Lee being the guy that they could afford to, you know, let go or, you know, maybe not let go, put on IR. But yeah, Packers are in good shape there. They have so many good cornerbacks, they can't even get them all onto the field. Unless you're playing dime. You know, even left off that list by Abraham, you can throw Jared Bush in there as well. I mean, not that he deserves to be in the starting lineup by any means, but, I mean, that's how deep the position is. You know, you've got six guys there practically who can play that position for the Packers. CD Angeli says, Clay Matthews looks like the kind of kid that guy that would have beat me up in middle school, but I still love the guy. Oh, I'm just laughing at the comments here as I read through them. Everybody wondering here about Dom Capers as a possible head coach. Bitter border battles, things about people were upset with him weeks ago, and now he's in the running for a head coach again. Abraham pointing out how he wasn't a bad coach as a head coach. You know, he had his moments, that's for sure. You know, people have mixed feelings on Dom Capers as a head coach. Back with the Carolina Panthers and Houston Texans, and you know, he had stints many places, Miami, New England, but no, the Packers just Dick Chang is in the house, fantastic, but no, folks, you know, I'm at a loss for words here, and going to wrap it up here on the post-game show. Once again, thanks, everybody, for joining us tonight, for the whole Cheesehead TV crew, you know, directing and moderating tonight. Corey Banky, Jamie Jors on our live blog. You know, join us throughout the show tonight. Aaron Nagler, Alex Talich on the blog throughout the game. From everybody here, we thank you for joining us. Make sure to come back Tuesday night for Packer Transplants, 8 p.m. Lambeau time. Howard Green will be on the show. Make sure to tune in Tuesday morning. Railbird Central podcast aired live at 8 a.m. Central time. And lots to talk about. Packers win 6-3 heading into the bye week. First place in the NFC North division. Take care, everyone. I know it's late. It's, you know, going on 11:30 Central Time, which, with the time difference, is practically past midnight now. So, and, even later than that for the East Coasters and, those of you overseas. But, take care, everyone. Gonna go here, and, we will see you later. Take care.